Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Hello and welcome to the latest and one of the most unusual Serie A Forza Italian football podcasts we've done this year. It's just a two-man show, unfortunately. Nick was in Iceland and is currently flying or just landed again. We don't really know, but he couldn't make it. So it's just myself, Connor Clancy, and Luca Gumby. Luca, how's everything?
Yeah, pretty good. Thanks. Yeah, I got the feeling that we're like a team who's been left in the lurch by an early red card, but it's time to put a brave face on and try and really play out of our skins on this pod.
Yeah, well, if anyone that's watching on the, live on ForzaItalianFootball.com or on our YouTube channel, you might see in the description, we're supposed to have a stand-in super sub, but internet problems and that have let us down, unfortunately. So this week, as you might be able to tell, it's going to be a bit of an international football special. So I'll just pause while those of you who don't care switch off. But we're going to start things off by keeping it club football because there was a Champions League draw since we last spoke. And there's a couple of good ones in there, Luca, isn't there? I'm just looking now. Juventus have been handed a rematch of the... Was the 2015 final when they faced Barcelona?
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so what do you make of their chances?
I still think that they've got good chances. Like, I think last week I tipped them to possibly go on and win it. I feel like, obviously, they're probably not the bookmakers' favourites or anything, but just as a personal point of view, I don't see why they can't go and win it. And a team like Barcelona, that sort of strong opposition, but one that's kind of obviously come into the end of its cycle with the manager leaving, is the kind of sort of opposition that Juve will be up for and they'll be ready to play. And I don't see why they can't beat them. Obviously, Barca had their difficulties against PSG and only just started through, so they might have spent a lot of energy there. But I don't see why Juve can't get that job done. It'll be a tough ask, but I think that's the kind of thing that they like and will be up for.
Yeah, see, I'm quite optimistic for Juve as well because I know their Barca, that is, Barca's comeback in the second leg against PSG was out of this world. We even spoke about it a little bit on the podcast, but they showed in the first leg, the fact that they had to come back from a 4-0 deficit shows that they are vulnerable. They're not this unstoppable team. And sorry if I jinx everything now, but Juve aren't going to concede 4 goals against Barca, you know? So I think Juventus have a really good chance. And if there's anyone that can just shut Barca out without touching on false Italian stereotypes, it's going to be Juventus. That back three, if they play a back three, that is, Buffon behind them, is, I mean, not many players in the world can get past that. Granted, that Barca front three isn't half bad, but no, I think I am quietly optimistic for Juventus chances. You said last week you think they could go on and win it. I wouldn't be too quick to disagree with you there. I'd say Juve probably have a great chance. And
yeah, because it's kind of their sort of identity as well, isn't it? They sort of like, obviously, they're the preeminent team in Italy and they win the league every year almost by default. But in Europe, they've not really got to that standard. But they do sort of revel in doing it the hard way. They have that whole kind of like fino alla fine thing. Even in the league when they were away at Sampdoria, it was quite difficult work, but they got the job done. And I think against sort of Barcelona, that kind of level of opponent could sort of really push them on to really like hit the top level in a way that perhaps they don't when it's a bit easier for them.
I'm actually just looking at the odds now. And the only teams left in the competition that have less favourable odds than Juve are Monaco and Leicester. So apparently a lot of people think Dortmund, Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich and Barca have a better chance of winning the Champions League. So placing a little bet on Juve might not be the worst decision you could make. But yeah, we saw like that identity, the fino alla fine, it was quite prominent in the 2015 run to the final. We saw exactly what they can do, and that Real Madrid tie over the two legs they were brilliant. They were quite unlucky last year against Bayern.
Yeah, well, they were lucky in the final, unlucky as well when they lost to Barcelona. They played very well and it could have gone differently. And then, like as you mentioned, Real Madrid, they wouldn't have been tipped for that. And it's a sort of similar tie against the other Spanish giants. So I suppose they can look back for that inspiration and really try and get it done this time around. I suppose maybe there's a belief that Allegri's time might be running out, so there'll be a kind of extra motivation there to send him off with like the top honour. So yeah, I think the team's good enough. The whole context around it's sort of going to push them to do better than perhaps they would if they had a lesser opponent where they could perhaps risk complacency. As Buffon said, he didn't want Leicester, but perhaps Barca is kind of the opposite, and it will perhaps avoid all the things he was getting worried about with the Foxes.
Yeah, now he's got some real concerns, I think, facing that Barca front three. But there's a weird symmetry here with Juventus and Barcelona, I think, because they were both going for the treble when they faced each other in 2015. It was both managers' first seasons at the club. Now it's both managers' third seasons. They're both... Allegri's probably going to leave in the summer. Luis Enrique said he will leave. So they're both coming to the end of that cycle. So it's kind of interesting how they've met at the beginning and end. So it's hard to cheer for Juve a lot of the time, but hopefully it would be great to see an Italian team actually dominate Europe again. I'm sure anyone can agree. Dean Darko has got in touch on YouTube to say Forza Milan from Belfast in Ireland. So good on you. We'll move on to the international football, which is why we're here. Italy are obviously playing Albania on Friday. I've forgotten what day it is today.
Yeah, Friday night.
They're playing Albania on Friday night in the Renzo Barbera in Palermo. And then they've got the Netherlands in a friendly on Monday, I think. But yeah, I just wanted to run through the squad just to get your thoughts on it, because Vito Doria has already written on this and it's up on the website at the moment. What kind of, since Ventura has come in, there's been a lot of writing and a lot of talk about the squads he's selected. I've written about it in the past. Vito is always keen to write about Ventura's squads, but this time we're kind of noticing what we expected Ventura would do, and that there's a lot of youth. There's a few experienced heads in there as well, but I think there's more youth in this squad than in any of his others. So I'm just going to... The goalkeepers are obviously Buffon, Donnarumma, and Alex Meret of Spal. Defenders, Astori, Barzagli, Bonucci, Darmian, D'Ambrosio, Decilio, Romagnoli, Rugani, Spinazzola, and Davide Zappacosta. And then midfield, De Rossi, Gagliardini, Parolo, Verratti. Wingers, a different section, as the Italians like to do, is Candreva, Insigne, Sansone. And then up top, we've got Belotti, Adair, Petagna, and Ciro Immobile. Luca, Did you know Adair's full name?
Martins.
Yeah. I suppose he's Brazilian, isn't he? So that makes a bit more sense. But yeah, what are your thoughts on the squad? Because I'm kind of happy that, as we said, there's a fair bit of youth in it this time. Obviously, it's great to see, from my point of view, Spinazzola and Petagna in there, even Gagliardini and Zappacosta from Torino. It's, having seen them come through at Atalanta, it's nice to see them putting a stamp on the international side. But what are you thinking about Ventura's selections overall?
Yeah, personally, I'm impressed with it as a squad. He did keep saying that he was going to bring in youth, and perhaps you thought it might take him a while. He might not actually do it. It might sort of be a bit of an empty promise. But then he has done it, because we came from this Euros when Conte picked this squad, which everyone thought was old and completely finished, and he got the absolute most out of them. But then that was probably the very limit of what they could do. But yeah, I think Ventura's made a lot of sensible decisions with his squad. He's had these training camps beforehand as well, to give these players a bit of a sort of chance to go to Coverciano, to go to the training centre and work out what it's like and what he needs from them. And then I think that should hopefully help them as well, now that they're in the senior team with the senior teammates who are used to being there. And yeah, I think it is a very interesting squad, and it bodes well for the future. I think there is a lot of talent there. And then perhaps even with players who aren't quite as old, who have gotten there, sort of Gabbiadini earned himself a place back when he was at Saints. So, I mean, obviously he's had to drop out now after he picked up an injury, but it was the same thing for Verdi as well, like what he's been doing at Bologna. So I think he's sort of picking players on form, and like it doesn't seem that he's just too worried about reputation. I think it's a good squad. I've seen sort of some mixed reactions to it, but personally I think it looks very good and encouraging moving forward.
Yeah, I don't want this to just turn into us agreeing with each other all night, but Bernardeschi dropped out as well, right? And
yeah,
Gabbiadini, as you mentioned. So I suppose if you're looking at the strikers who are going to drop out going forward, I think Adair is the obvious one, because Belotti and Immobile, they work really well together, and they're the two in-form Italian strikers at the moment. And then Petagna is only young, so you'd imagine he'll be featuring a lot more. And he brings so much more than scoring goals, as we've seen with Atalanta this season. His link-up play and his willingness to work for the team, cliched as it sounds, is second to pretty much nobody.
They're all sort of different types of strikers, aren't they, as well? Sort of Petagna's obviously a lot bigger. Whereas like Velotti's like just the best, but Immobile, you can sort of play balls in through to him. It's sort of interesting in that regard that they're all sort of quite varied. I suppose that's why Adair always gets a look in as well.
Yeah, and with Gabbiadini finding form in England, hopefully he can continue that and stake a real claim for a place in that squad. And then I don't know what Simone Zaza is up to at the moment, but he hit a bit of form for a bit. I don't follow Spanish football that closely, but if he can refine his Sassuolo form, hopefully he can really fight for a place back in the side as well. I'm looking at the midfield, and with the exception of one, it's quite exciting. There's only four real midfielders named in Daniele De Rossi, Roberto Gagliardini, Marco Parolo, and Marco Verratti. But De Rossi, Gagliardini, and Verratti would be quite a nice midfield trio, wouldn't it, going forward? De Rossi, obviously, the one who is more likely to drop out soon because of his age. But it kind of links to a question we got on Twitter. Just let me find it. It is from Robert Cottingham, a lovely surname. He wants to know who is the long-term future partner for Marco Verratti in Italy's midfield. I said this on Twitter earlier, it's kind of a shame that Nick isn't here, because I'm sure he'd agree with me in saying Gagliardini, because the man is a serious talent and he seems to be getting better every time he plays. He can do everything. He's box to box. He just needs to add more goals to his game, but he scored two in his last three, so it looks like he's making a real effort to do that. His finish against Cagliari was a long-range strike, and then the goal that he unfortunately scored against Atalanta was a bit different. It was, he found himself in the box, and he, unusually for him, kept his head and just smashed it into the top corner. So for me, it's Gagliardini. I What are your thoughts?
I knew you were going to say Gagliardini, so I didn't really feel I would jump in and still be funded. But I suppose that perhaps even looking further down, or someone who's not even around the squads and is a completely kind of different option, is someone that we were praising for Napoli in the Champions League, which is Diawara, because he'd also be eligible to play for Italy if they decided to call him up. And he could be another, so he's 19 at the moment, he's got a lot of room to grow, he's doing well at Napoli when he's given a chance. So yeah, I think Italy in midfield as well, they're certainly stocked. I think, like, obviously it's who partners Verratti, because he's probably out and out the best player in that team at the moment. But yeah, even like the under-21s, they have lots of players coming through at the moment. It does seem to be a good generation for Italian players. They don't necessarily have the kind of big name stars or anything, but they've got a lot of good players.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Diawara, I could be completely wrong, but I vaguely remember him saying recently that he would be happy to play for Italy as well, which would be great, because we have sung his praises on this podcast and he's obviously a talented player. I'm looking for a news article at the moment. Sorry, I can't find it, but Marco Verratti's agent, I don't know who it is. That's what I was looking for, but he's come out, I think it was today, and said that basically Verratti's been at Paris for 5 years now and he's won the French League, but if he wants to be a real champion, he's going to have to move. So we've discussed this again. Like, is Juventus the obvious destination for him? And if he goes there, he's obviously going to be competing not only in Italy, but in Europe as well. So surely that's good for not only Verratti, but Italy as well, right?
Yeah, certainly. I think he, at the moment, you would assume that Verratti is going to be the kind of top transfer target for everyone at the moment going into summer. But unless the Spanish teams are really keen on him in Madrid and Barcelona, you would expect Juve to be the real favourite, I suppose. If Inter's new ownership is really ambitious, they could possibly try and sign him as a, you know, a signal of intent. But without that Champions League football, I don't really see that happening. And again, it seems that it will be Juventus who are really the team who can sort of stockpile the top Italian players and continue to provide that core for the national team, which I suppose from the international perspective will be positive if it keeps that kind of sense of unity and togetherness for the Azzurri as well.
I'm just distracted. I got a message from our very own Vito Doria while you were speaking there. I messaged him in a panic before the podcast started, and he just got back to me. God knows what time it is over where he is, but what a champion getting back to me. And
get him on.
No, he's in work, unfortunately. But where was it going? Yeah, just while we're speaking there, another player came to mind who was really impressive in Serie A last season, and it's been a bit quieter for him this year, but I think he's still having quite a good time with Torino. It's Daniele Baselli, who obviously came through at Atalanta as well. But you see Zappa Costa, who made the same move at the same time to Torino in the squad. I think Baselli probably isn't too far away. Again, he's a different type of striker, or midfielder, sorry. He's more someone who will pull the strings for you and try and pick out a chance and get on the end of a chance if possible. But
yeah, Torino also have Benassi as well, who could be a similar option. I think obviously Ventura, the ex-Torino boss there, there's sort of good relationships there with these players and the clubs. And like Benassi's in the under-21 squad at the moment, he could be another one to make a step up. There's a lot of options. I guess also even Jorginho, who was sort of the big thing last year, who's not been around as much this year, he could still make a step on and get back in that kind of situation where he's around the team.
Yeah, I suppose that's the really tricky thing that Ventura has to handle, is there's a lot of talented midfielders and defenders and strikers around Italy at the moment, fortunately. A lot of young talent. But he's got to get that balance right, because I don't think he can just throw all of the youngsters in to an international game, especially in this group, because they're trying to go head-to-head with Spain, and even Israel aren't too far behind at the moment, but they can't really afford to take too many risks. So the likes of Parolo and De Rossi being there to kind of hold the young guys' hands through this makes a lot of sense. We've got some interaction on Twitter. A lot of people are saying, well, a couple of people are saying Gallardini as well. So I'm right, Luca. But yeah, so we'll move on to the Albania game. Italy are currently second. They're joint top on points, but Spain have a significantly better goal difference of plus 14. Italy's is plus 7, both on 10 points. Israel in third on 9. Then Albania, Friday's opponents, are fourth on 6 points. This should be 3 points for the Azzurri, right?
It should be, but you do have to certainly respect Albania. They were at the Euros and they give a relatively good account of themselves there as being a team who's not normally on that stage. They've got an Italian manager in Di Biasi, so he should sort of be able to set a team up to play against Italy. And yeah, I suppose it's just kind of the danger is that Italy get complacent. If they avoid that, they should be okay. But you know, it's not going to be a game where they're going to just turn up and batter Albania if that's what they expect. It will be difficult for them. And they've got a few players as well with Albania around in Serie A, Strakosha at Lazio, and as a Husai's Albanian. So
they have a great goalkeeper as well.
Yeah, so it will be quite tough. And I think there might be a large Albanian contingent at the stadium as well with the Albanian diaspora in Italy. When they played at the Marassi, it was basically all the Albanians fans. But yeah, you would.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Expect Italy to win, but sometimes that's when you can't really trust them. They're not always as good when they're the favourites, and Albania just can't be underestimated.
Yeah, that's kind of the historical problem with Italy, isn't it? If they have to play a big team, no problem, they'll show up and probably win. But it's when they're playing these smaller teams that they tend to switch off. And I was actually out at the Euros this summer, and I'd say my highlight of the whole tournament, other than the Ireland game where Ireland beat Italy, was probably myself and my friend Simon went with Dov and Podrick actually and drove from Paris up to Lens to watch Albania against Switzerland. And we got tickets in with the Albanian fans and they were insane. They were incredible. They never shut up for the whole game. And me and my mate Simon, we stood out like a sort that we were both just there in our own clothes and whatever, and everyone else was wearing red. Just everybody. So we got chatting to these Albanian fans beside us in, I'd say they had about 20 words of English between them, and obviously we don't speak their language. So we got chatting anyway, and then they asked us for a photo. I think my mate was wearing an Ireland jersey or something, so that we got a photo with them anyway. And then he turned to me and he was like, "Oh, this is for you." And it was just like a little lighter. I wish I had it now. But it's up in my room. It's like a little red lighter with the Albanian flag on it. And then they made us pose for a photo to do that because it's like the shape of the whatever.
The
Albanian flag. But I think since then, Albania kind of they're very much my second favorite team. You know, when I'm looking for results, I'll check on them. So,
Irish being the darlings of the major tournament, everyone's favourite, everyone's fans.
Yeah, me and my mate, we weren't exactly big fans of that, but yeah, it seems to work wherever we went. We made friends with a few Romanians as well at one point. But yeah, they've got that chant, they just chant, "Shipui, Shipui." That's amazing. Dov's after just sending me a message with the chant. So, but yeah, like you said, they're a tough team to break down as well, and I kind of joked, but Ettrick Berisha is actually a really good goalkeeper. But yeah, it's not going to be easy. And their supporters tend to travel quite well. And they're intimidating, even if they're not at home. So it's not going to be easy for Italy. And hopefully they, Ventura will have them like well drilled, and he'll make sure they don't switch off. Then after that, it's the Netherlands in Amsterdam on Monday. That I don't really know what to be expecting from that. Is it just going to be an opportunity to give the kids a run out? I don't really know.
Yeah, you would expect so. I think Ventura has also talked a bit about playing with different formations in games and switching between, mm-hmm. like against Liechtenstein, obviously. Liechtenstein on the most formidable environment, but he played 4-2-4, so I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of did that again. Like with all these wingers he's got, he might just try and, you know, he might just try and really get at Netherlands, who aren't really the best Dutch side that we've seen at the moment. So, yeah, you would expect that one to be quite an experimental game, whereas the Albanian one's probably going to be quite tough and attritional, whereas the Netherlands, you kind of could see Italy going for it and trying to get the most out of all these kind of young players and give them a chance to develop.
Yeah, I think Vito might have made this point earlier in the... I think that game in Amsterdam might actually be Tuesday. I think I said Monday. Apologies about that. But Vito made this point earlier when he wrote an article. The fact that it's kind of selected goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders, wingers, forwards, that does suggest that the 4-2-4.
Yeah, because usually it's not wingers, it's not a separate section in the squad that is particular to this squad. So you do kind of assume that they're going to place this kind of great emphasis on these wide players doing a much more kind of individual role to perhaps what they've done in the past. Like you won't have these kind of fullbacks bombing up and down like the line, like perhaps you did at the Euros. It will be different in that regard.
Yeah, I think because the wingers mentioned are Kondreva, Insigne and Sansone, they're all attacking players. Like if it was going to be more of a wing-back role, I suppose the likes of Darmian and Decilio maybe would have been included in that list, even Zappacosta, and Spinazzola as well, obviously, who plays there for Atalanta. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. That I'm quite intrigued by that game. I'm not usually that pushed on friendlies because obviously it's important for them to be played so the manager has time with the players and stuff like that. But I don't know, they're not usually the easiest to watch, but this one might actually be worth tuning in for because, like we say, it'll be interesting to see what Ventura does. I suppose we'll move on to the under-21s now. I think they've got two games.
Yeah, they're playing Poland in Krakow and then they're heading back to Italy to play Spain in quite a glamorous game. They've got it at the Stadio Olimpico, which is something a bit different. Oh, wow.
But they've not exactly had the best preparation, have they? A lot of the obvious under-21 players might even be in the full.
Yeah, Petagna was probably going to be their key striker, and then with Gabbiadini dropping out, he had to move up to the senior team. But I suppose that shows that the under-21 side is doing its job in being a platform for the senior side. So it's kind of one of those situations where they lose their best players because they're doing well in promoting this youth. But even when you look at the under-21 side, it is quite promising. You see a lot of players who are playing regularly, even in the top flight. I mentioned, who did I mention earlier? Benassi from Torino and Or Cataldi, he's there. These are players playing regularly in Serie A, Valerio Vera, Berardi's in that team, Kevin Bonifazi as well, who's been doing really well at Spal. And yeah, it seems Italy do have a lot of interesting young players at the moment, which hasn't always been the case, even in the Azzurrini. The two goalkeepers are quite big names in Golini, who's now at Atalanta after his time at Villa, and Scuffet, who will get a run in the team now. I think Udinese with, Heresen, the Greek goalkeeper's out injured. So
I'm looking at this squad now, and I know they've lost. The Caldara dropped out through injury, and Sassuolo's Luca Mazzatelli, but other than that, it's still quite strong. Mandragora has been called up to replace Mazzatelli, but we've still got players. You mentioned the goalkeepers. There's like Antonio Barreca, Davide Calabria, Messina, Benassi, as you said, Grassi, Locatelli, Mandragora, Pellegrini. Then up front, you've got Berardi, Federico Chiesa, Di Francesco. There's good talent there. So you would expect things to go quite well for them. Hopefully it does, because it's always good to see the youth sides doing well, especially with half an eye on the future as well. I suppose we'll talk about that for a bit, because there is a lot of young talent in the first team, but as we've said there, there's plenty more in the under-21s, and even those missing out are still quite impressive as well at the moment. It's a good time for the Italian national side, really, isn't it? It's going to be a good few years ahead, right?
Yeah, you should think so. I think they are kind of moving away from the kind of like traditional distrust of young players, and they're really pushing it. They're trying to give it a go. I think they've looked at some of the stuff that Germany did after it kind of rejuvenated its whole system. They've built all these local training centres to sort of get players developing and playing in a certain way. And yeah, I think it does look quite promising for Italy, even down some of the like younger teams, even the under-17s. You've got Moise Kean at Juventus, who's played in the Champions League already, and he's, what, 16, 17? He's featured in Serie A a few times. Like, these players are starting to get chances with their clubs as well. And there's an under-21 Euros on this year in the summer, which so the under-21s have something to aim for and something to really focus on. It'll be interesting to see how they do there. Italy are the record champions in that competition. And I think they do take it very seriously. They think they can do well. And especially with Ventura giving all these players a chance in the senior team, perhaps some of them might drop down for that competition as well to really boost the team, give it the strongest squad possible. It does seem quite bright in the future at the moment for Italy.
Yeah, the European Championship is obviously something for them to aim towards as a team. But again, because Ventura is giving so many young players a chance, on a personal level, you've got to be thinking, as an Italy under-21 player, if you impress, you've got a really good shot at getting called up to the first team. So there's a lot of excitement going on at the moment. And if we just look at the future, like, we could see in a few years a back three of Caldara, Romagnoli and Rugani in front of Gigi Donnarumma, you know? So yeah, that's impressive. And then Verratti and Gagliardini or someone else in front of them. So
yeah, and even in Ventura calling up Meret, picking a player from Serie B, it shows a kind of willingness not to be afraid and just pick the big names, the top clubs. He's really seeming to be going around and doing this on merit. I didn't realise that's actually accidentally a pun there. But
that was quite good, actually. I wish you had planned that, because I would have taken it off you and said it first.
Yeah. But,
even when he's not afraid of upsetting the clubs, even when he probably should, because Spal aren't too happy about Meret being called up, are they?
No, they've got a top of the title clash against Frosinone at the weekend, and Serie B has no international break. So, yeah, it's a bit worrying for the boys from Ferrari with the run of form they're on as the top team. So, the backup goalkeeper must have a fair amount of pressure on him coming.
Yeah, let's just hope he doesn't drop an absolute clanger and they lose because of it. Because it'd be so disappointing, because they are still top. As he waits for the table to load, but they are only 2 points ahead of Frosinone, so that game is huge. If they can win that, I'm telling you, send them to Serie A already and get the party started. I think we've kind of reached the end here. We've done well, I think, as the two of us to make it through half an hour. So, Luca, is there anything in particular you want to mention? Are you going to be writing anything for FIF this week?
I think I'll just bide my time, see how Italy do against Albania and come up with some reactionary opinion based on that.
Yeah, so whether or not Italy win or lose, there will be a reactionary feature up from Luca Gombi over the weekend.
Yeah, I'll just completely contradict all the praise if they get a negative result.
With Albania returning and Di Biase in charge, he's going back to Palermo, so Kev P has written a feature on that. As I said, Vito Doria has written about Giampiero Ventura speeding up the Italy evolution, if you want to call it that, with his latest squad selection. And you know what, I've written about it a bit before, but I might write something about all of the young talents going on, because when I wrote the piece earlier in the season, it wasn't as exciting as it is now, but things look really good at the moment. But yeah, so the usual stuff, tune into our YouTube channel. It's pointless saying this to you watching, but for those of you who listen on iTunes or Acast, head over to YouTube, search for Forza Italian Football, look at FIFTV. There's plenty of good stuff going on. Nick, who isn't here tonight, who we will never forgive, and Vieri Capretta are doing some really good stuff. We'll be heading out to the Coppa Italia semi-finals in a couple of weeks, as well as Napoli Juve in the league. So we might do a few bits while we're out there. And yeah, just read everything on ForzaItalianFootball.com. Follow us on Twitter at Serie A FFC. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram's been quiet, but we'll sort that out. Search Forza Italian Football. Find me at Concalcio. Luca is at Gumby Zono. Yeah, I think that's it. We made it, Luca. Round of applause. I'm quite impressed. We've been going, if I backed it to the notification I got from YouTube, 33 minutes. So we aimed for 25. I think we've done quite well there. I'm just trying to check to make sure we haven't missed out on any listener questions before we wrap things up. I have a feeling we might have. But no, I think we're all good. Oh, there's one. Sorry. It came in on YouTube from a Juve fan. How do you see the Allegri to Arsenal scenario? And if he does go, who is going to come in? Right, so we take that first. If he does go, who do you think the obvious replacement for him is? I know Spalletti's been linked quite a bit, but I don't know if I could see that happening.
I don't know about Arsenal, because I think the whole Wenger out thing isn't anyway sorted at this stage. But yeah, I can't really see Allegri pushing through for a move if there's nothing there. I don't see why he would try and force him, but I don't know, like, to be honest, no real names come to my head, because I suppose Allegri was seen as such a strange choice at the time and, like, quite a widely criticised one, that it's quite hard to really think who the obvious shout would be with Juventus, because it wouldn't be beyond them to go for something different. Yeah. I don't know, last week we were talking about Di Francesco moving up in Serie A. I think Juventus...
That'd probably be a big step up, though.
That'd be a big step up, and I can't see that one happening. But yeah, it's I don't know, perhaps if Inter get rid of Pioli to go for some big glamour name and Juventus like what he did there, that could make sense. But otherwise, I don't think there's really an obvious candidate. I don't know what you think.
I'll tell you someone who's doing really well in Serie A at the moment. Overachieving. This guy, he's coaching up on Bergamo at the moment, is Giampiero Gasperini. He said he's happy in Bergamo and the people love him there, so he'd be stupid to leave. And I agree. So, yeah, insert my previous conclusion here and we'll call it a day. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll chat to you again next week. Nicholas Carroll will be back. We'll be sure to abuse him. Any abuse you have for him, send it in. And yeah, we'll reflect on the two games that Italy have played. So talk to you then. Ciao for now.
Bye.
Saliamo ancora per il calcio d'angolo, questa volta lo scambio è nostro. C'è Pirlo libero, potrebbe anche calciare.
Pirlo 1-0.
Prova a salire Muntari, perde un'altra palla in mezzo. La profondità di Iaquinta, cercata sullo scatto di Cuffur. Iaquinta va via, è in anticipo Iaquinta, saltato, Vincenzo! Iaquinta, 2-0! Può essere una soluzione,
perché loro non giocano a zona, non lo sta marcando nessuno.
Palla tagliata, sale Materazzi, Materazzi 1-0 c'è, che abbiamo ripreso palla, e allora la possibilità di contropiede, posizione rigore. Inzaghi super. passare il pallone. C'è ancora spazio per un traversone. Prova a prendere lo spazio basso. Grosso di rigore. Sempre grosso, ancora nella rigore. Zambrotta, si va a vedere Camoranesi in profondità, torce 1-2 con Zambrotta, grande colpo di tacco, ancora Zambrotta, prova il sinistro, Gianluca, Zambrotta, 5-26, 1-0, Francesco Totti vuole lo scambio, ecco il pallone di ritorno, c'è tempo per il traversone, Cannavaro, Luca, Toni, 2-0, si è svegliato Toni. A lui Grosso, ancora per Zambrotta, il pallone passa, Zambrotta passa in mezzo, Zambrotta ancora dentro, Luca! Secondo palo, pallone arriva!
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.